Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall. Happy New Year to everybody out there. Be safe tonight. Don't be stupid. It's amateur hour. Be smart. And a man who has never been stupid a day in his life, Greg Wyshynski, joining us here from ESPN, covering all things NHL. Greg, how are you, sir? Happy New Year.
Oh, if that were only true. I've barely been able to avoid being stupid this week.
Are you married? Are you married, Greg?
Oh yeah, very much.
Then you've been stupid every day of your life. They let us know how stupid we are all the time.
This is true, but I've also never. I mean, I try not to admit stupidity as well. It's a real give and take. But I think also, you know, the fear of the thing you just mentioned is what keeps you in line to not be stupid.
That is fair. In fact, her voice is in my head every morning when I do my radio show. I know there's a chance that her or her mother are listening, so it keeps me in line. Greg, the winter classic tomorrow. Just sort of, you know, big picture, 10,000-foot view. There's obviously 2 points on the line, and it's important for a team like the Predators who are battling for a playoff spot. But big picture, do you put more emphasis on the game because you are struggling and because you need the points and because it is this bigger defining thing that's the spectacle, or do you put less pressure on it and just try to enjoy the whole pomp and circumstance of the event itself?
Having covered a number of these, it's interesting to talk to the guys about it, because when it is a game that's within their division or within their conference, there is definitely a contingent of players that are like, this is stupid. You know, the other teams in this division don't have to play in these elements, don't have to play on bad ice, don't have to play in a football stadium in a game that has the potential for a four-point swing. So there's going to be people in the locker room that would rather this game be played in an arena. On the other hand, and especially for these two teams, I think this is going to be one of those where the opportunity to play in front of 85,000 fans, to have your family be involved in the skate, you know, today at the Cotton Bowl. There's just so much other ancillary stuff that a lot of these guys probably didn't think they'd get a chance to take part in, playing in Nashville and playing in Dallas, considering what a huge bias there is towards the original six and Pittsburgh and Philly when it comes to these outdoor games. That they're just going to be more into the overall spectacle of it than be sour about, you know, having to play a critical game in you know, awkward conditions.
Now, you're absolutely right. This is a game, as a fan, you should enjoy the festivities leading up to the game. You should enjoy the festivities after the game, it being in a you know, an unusual place in regards to, you know, the world of hockey being played outside in a football stadium. That's not the norm, but the NHL loves doing that, and it's great for the fans. But as in regards to the Nashville Predators, this is, if you're looking at the NHL as a whole, this is the 20th best team in the National Hockey League. It's a far cry from where they were the last year, even the year before that. From your vantage point, you've watched this team over the years. We've had you on. Why have they fallen so far? Because just last year they were in a penthouse, and we thought this was a team that was destined for the Stanley Cup, and now we don't know if this team's going to make the playoff because they're just so inconsistent.
Yeah, and I think inconsistent's the word, right? Like, it feels like a team that's trying to find its identity. And that's weird when, you know, the coach has been there for 5 or 6 years and you figure by now they'd know who they are. But, you know, moving around the pieces at the forward position to try to, you know, obviously they to break up the top line and see if they can find another combination that really sparks, to try to figure out what's going on with the goaltending this year, insofar as the Predators having the second worst team save percentage in the league, which is, I mean, mind-boggling when you think about the legacy of this team and how well they play in that category year to year. And keep in mind, they're going against a Dallas team that's number one in that category in this game, by the way, tomorrow. It's frustrating, and it's frustrating to see what's happened with the wins and losses this year, where it does seem like every time they take a few steps forward, then all of a sudden it's a leap backward, and they just can't seem like they can get on that roll quite yet. Now, the calendar hasn't turned to 2020. There's still plenty of season left, and they're only a few points in back of Dallas with a few games in hand, so I don't think it's necessarily panic time. But I do think that I've heard more from Predators fans on social media about, you know, whether there needs to be a change behind the bench to spark this team or to get it back on a different page than I've heard in previous seasons, that's for sure.
Well, and that's the price of doing business. Greg Wyshynski joining us here. When you elevate expectations, that means the fan base sort of has, I think that you'd call it matured over the last 20 years. It's matured into a place where now they have expectations for the first time. And, you know, with that comes pressure. Most of these players and coaches know that. It's why you get into the business in the game in the first place, is to win championships and have those expectations. The closer and closer, you know, there's tons of season left, Greg, but you did call this game critical. And it is a four-point swing with two teams chasing down a playoff spot in the same division with some history from last year. The question I have is, let's say it's, you know, remove the coaching conversation from this equation. If you're David Poile and you get closer and closer to the deadline and your team is still sitting in 11th in the Western Conference, is there what is the thought process around movement at the deadline? Is it wholesale changes to try to get better and win this year? Is there a chance that there are some pieces they would sell, even if they're not in the playoffs, like, which seems completely bonkers? Just what is the strategy from a player standpoint when you're David Poile and you're approaching the deadline and you are still, let's say, in 10th or 11th place?
Well, I don't think they're going to be wholesale sellers, right? But I'll let me put it this way. When you think how many coaches he's had as GM of the Nashville Predators versus how many deadline trades he's made... You know, it's like you kind of see the writing on the wall as far as what his thought process might be here. And I don't think he'd hesitate to make a deal to try to make this team better. I don't think he'd hesitate to make a deal to try to spark the team. this roster still is good enough to win and maybe needs just that spark of whatever to try to, you know, change the equation. But the team he's constructed, I think, has the bones of a really good team. It's just that for whatever reason, it's not coalescing right now the way it should. And that does bring it back to the coach at some point, you know, and whether a change there is the thing that'll gel it together, or whether they just need to kind of play through this. I mean, it has been 6 years. It's been a long run. He's an amazing coach, no question about it. But it's kind of weird. I wrote about this today on ESPN. Like, it's weird to have two teams in the Winter Classic. One team had to get rid of a coach they didn't want to get rid of, and another team has a coach that everybody seems like they want to get rid of, but they're probably not going to get rid of.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You potentially have to make a change somewhere. Now, whether it's with the, you know, coaching staff or with players, I think eventually, if the season continues to go the way it has been, you got to do something before the trade deadline. If there's one player on this Nashville Predator team that you feel needs to, in order for this team to find itself, to get on a roll, Roman Josi's playing extremely well. He's probably the one guy that has been consistent all season. Other than that, and I know the goalie, which guy do you believe has to step their game up in order for this team to play more consistently?
Well, you kind of hand waved away the goalies. that's the whole key. I mean, uh-huh. We can look at this roster and say, you know, this guy should have more points, or this guy should be stouter defensively. But when you have both your goalies playing at a sub 900, you know, save percentage rate, and both of your goalies well into the negative on goals saved above average in this league, which is the metric that you use to figure out, you know, how much your goalies are out kicking their coverage. It's been an atrocious season for both those guys based on the standards that we expect from them. And so, you know, in this league, so many good things, whether it's offensively, whether it's making the coach look better, all track back to whether or not you're getting consistent winning play from your goaltending. And until, you know, Pekka and UC crest over that 900 save percentage metric, and until the Predators start to make a real climb out of 30th in the league in team save percentage, I mean, you're just going to keep treading water. Like, they can be as good as they can be up front, but if you don't have that foundation, which, again, they've had for a decade, you know, it's incredible to think that this is the Achilles heel of this team based on what the franchise has been. But this year, there's no question that when you have two of your goalies playing at sub 900 save percentage hockey, like, that just subverts everything you're trying to do. So to me, that's the real key. And again, it's also an interesting thing because, like, you could trade for a forward, you could move, you know, a defenseman, but these are your goalies. Like, there's no question that it's going to be Pekka Rinne and UC Soros to kind of figure this thing out. And until they do, I feel like the Predators are just going to keep treading water.
Yeah, it's a very interesting situation with the goaltending as it pertains to this franchise. There's no question about it. Greg Wyshynski joining us here. Going back to the system, though, and the roster being in place to be pretty good, you do go down the list, though, and you go Kyle Turris, you know, almost 7.7 points per game in 7 years in Ottawa. He's got a career low at 0.5 here in Nashville. You know, Ryan Johansson, 59 goals the two seasons prior to arriving. He's had exactly 59 goals in 321 games in Nashville. Matt Duchene, Kevin Fiala's having the best year of his career in Minnesota this year after leaving the organization. You know, Wayne Simmonds wasn't really himself and was trending in the wrong direction when they acquired him last year, but 16 goals for Philly, one for Nashville. Granlund hasn't been the same player since coming to Nashville. Even Ryan Hartman. Again, there are individual excuses and reasons why guys didn't necessarily produce as well here as they did elsewhere. Is there anything that you can point to that explains sort of all of that across the board? I know they are a more sort of defensive-oriented team with goaltending as their foundation, and that's sort of been the explanation for years. Is there something else that you're noticing?
I mean, I'd have to look at the specifics, for example, for a guy like Turris in regards to who he was playing with in Ottawa during those years to kind of really get a sense of maybe what's been lacking for him as far as clicking with line mates in Nashville in that specific case. But in the case of the other guys, I mean, I think it's just systemic. You know, it's Nashville does a different thing, and it doesn't always translate into huge offensive numbers. I mean, you know, one of the reasons why Philip Forsberg, for example, has really been such a breakout player for the Preds in the last several seasons is because he puts up offensive numbers that seem to outpace what we expect from Nashville forwards and have expected from Nashville forwards from this team for a very long time. So I think it's the system more than anything else. But, you know, you can overcome that. I mean, you can overcome guys that don't necessarily produce at the same clip they produce in other places if they're producing in the right situations. And, you know, I think it goes back to a word we used at the beginning of the conversation, which is inconsistency. And I think that leads over to definitely to the offensive output as well. I do expect there to be a few goals scored tomorrow between these two teams. The over-under, I think, in Vegas is 5.5 goals. And Nashville, I think, hit that over in 7 of 9 games, Dallas in like 4 or 5 games. So I think we should see a few goals tomorrow on what should be the traditional chippy, bad, melty ice of the Winter Classic. but you know, a bit more offensive consistency from this group is definitely necessary as well.
Greg, always a pleasure, man. Happy New Year. Stay safe out there. Don't get mixed up with too many amateurs tonight, all right?
Well, I look forward to it. I'm going to the big Eric Young Predator New Year's party tonight. I am bummed, though, because I found out that the place I went drinking last night is the same place that the party's at tonight. So, you know, I like to mix it up a little bit, but at least the beer was good, so I don't mind it too much.
If you got to go back to a repeat, it's fine. You can go back. Now, the question, how many we know that there's a record number of Preds fans. I know I was about to let you go, Greg. I'm sorry. But there's a record number of Preds fans that are supposed to be going to this game. Have you seen the sweaters? Have you seen the gold everywhere?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure, yeah. And I was having a few with a couple of Preds fans last night. And you could see them all around. They're roaming around. They're checking out Dallas. It's going to be a real fun. I mean, the talk from the NHL the entire time has been how massive the traveling contingent of Nashville fans has been for this game. And I think that speaks to the number of tickets they've sold for this thing. I mean, it is going to be the second highest attended Winter Classic they've ever had, and potentially outdoor game they've ever had next to the game in Michigan at the Big House. So it's going to be a real party, and you're going to have definitely that European soccer warring factions thing going on, because I imagine there's going to be a lot of blue and gold in that building tomorrow.
I love it. Eat some brisket, Greg, for me, just for me, and enjoy the game tomorrow, man.
Thanks, boys.
Absolutely. Greg Wyshynski there from ESPN. Some interesting thoughts. Insight into David Poyle's thought process, I thought, was an interesting point there from Greg Wyshynski. And then what do we expect to see tomorrow in this Winter Classic, this special thing that's been built up for months and months and months that's finally here tomorrow? We'll get into that when we come back right here. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.